Good morning, everyone. We're glad to see you. Those of you that are visiting with us today, we're delighted that you're here. We have a number of people that are visiting, and we're appreciative of your being here. Our son came in a while ago, and good to see Tim, along with all of you. And one thing I want us to do, since we do have some visitors with us today, and if you can, please stand, and let's all sing God is so good. Would you mind? God is good. He is so good. Everybody together. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. Please be seated. It was Friday when Jesus was taken and crucified. The agony of the cross. It was Friday when he was laid in the grave. There he was, his body was laid in that grave. And now it's Sunday morning. Now it's a new day. What a wonderful thing to read the Scriptures, to have the Word of God to tell us all about Jesus the Master. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2, "For I have determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Also in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 5, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake." All I want to do today is hide behind the cross. I want to hide behind Jesus Christ. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. The Bible tells us when the two Mary's came, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came, they didn't find the body of Jesus in the grave. And there's a reason why. They were even told, come, see, examine, go then and tell. Verse 1 says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher." We're not sure about the other Mary other than the fact Matthew is the only one that uses that terminology with reference to her. We know about Mary Magdalene, the place from which she was. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they made a trip. And that trip is to the sepulcher. They had seen Jesus' body laid there on Friday. Now, it's Sunday morning. It's early, very early. And the Bible tells us that as it was dawning toward the first day of the week, that these two, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, came. And they wanted to see the sepulcher. See where Jesus was laid. The Bible continues, "And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." What happened? A great earthquake. We're familiar with people that have suffered earthquakes. The Bible uses the expression here, there was a great earthquake. There was a great shaking. And then the angel from heaven descended from heaven. There was an angel. An angel that came down from heaven. And we know why he came down. What did the angel do? He came and he rolled back the stone from the door. And then the angel sat upon that huge stone. Can't you just imagine being there and seeing that angel sitting there on the stone that now he's rolled away? See him? Came down from heaven. We're learning something about the Master. What happened on Friday now beginning to turn brighter on Sunday. His countenance was like lightning. Boy, I've seen some strong lightning, haven't you? Can you imagine the strength of that lightning and how beautiful it must have been? And his raiment was white as snow. If you'd been there, if I'd been there, perhaps there would be the fear that these keepers had. They did shake. As a matter of fact, the Bible says they became as dead men. It was a tremendous occasion. Something has happened. And praise God, you and I know what that something was. What happened? The keepers, for fear of him, did shake and became as dead men. And then the angel spoke. And the Bible says, then the angel answered and said unto the women, said unto who? Mary and the other Mary. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. Here's what the angel said to them. By the way, I know why you're here, but he isn't here now. Who? Jesus. He said, he is not here. I know that you seek Jesus, and he was crucified. I like Matthew whenever he put that in. There are those today that still deny the crucifixion of the Son of God. But by inspiration, the Scriptures tell us that Jesus, that you're seeking, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, this same Jesus was crucified. And I know why you're here. You're here to come and see where his body lay. What did he say to them? The angel to these two, Mary, do not be afraid. I know that you're seeking Jesus, which was crucified. Number one, you won't find him here now. He's not here in this grave. It's Sunday morning. Women are now hearing something that is astonishing, something that is encouraging, something that is motivating. He isn't here. Just like he said before he left, he said that he would rise from the grave. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. And then the angel said to them, come, look at the place where he did lay, his body did lay. Friends, I want to tell you, this is a magnificent occasion. This by Matthew as he's writing these details concerning the Master. Here he's telling us all these wonderful things, trying to get men and women to see, come and see, and then go and tell. But in verse 7, that angel said to them, here's something, I've got something for you to do. I want you to go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. One thing that heaven wanted everybody to know, and one thing that heaven wants all of us to know, and all peoples for all time, is he's no longer dead. His body is not in the grave. He is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. And there you shall see him, lo, I have told you. What a tremendous thing. They're going to see their Master. They're going to see Jesus that was crucified on Friday. It's Sunday. They're going to be able now to see the Master. The Master who went through such excruciating pain on that cross. The Master who had cried out to His God, "My God, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" And now it's Sunday. And now you're going to see Him. Go tell His disciples. Quickly go. Don't hesitate. Because you see, you're going to see Him too. And look what the angel said. The angel says, you tell them He's going to go before you and the disciples shall see Him, and you can be assured that what I'm telling you is right because I've told you. I'm an angel from heaven and I've told you. Go now, tell His disciples and let them know He's no longer, His body is no longer in the grave. Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, your friend, my Savior, He's not in that grave any longer. His body has been raised. What are they going to do? And they, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, departed quickly from the sepulchre. They'd come to see the sepulchre. They'd come to see the Lord in the sepulchre, or at least be near Him in the sepulchre. And they are now being told by the angels, you get up and you go and tell the disciples of the Lord that He has been risen and He is risen from the grave and He's going to meet you. He's going to see you. And they did run to bring the disciples word. Ah, they responded quickly just like they were told. They were bundled up with fear and great joy. They were so thrilled. They had a message and that message was just burning in their hearts and they wanted to tell the disciples what the angel told them to tell them. He is risen from the grave. Go and tell them quickly. And they did run to bring His disciples word. And what were they going to tell Him? Tell them, Jesus is risen from the dead. God is so good. As they went themselves on that mission that they had been told to go and tell, guess what? Jesus met them. Can you imagine what a meeting that must have been like? Here they are, they've been told by the angel, you go and you tell His disciples that He's going to meet them. He's going to see them. And they were eagerly going, and then guess what? On their way, can you imagine how they must have felt? When the Bible says that Jesus met them and they heard His sweet, melodious voice. And Jesus said, all hail. And what did they do? What would you do? What would I do? I hope, my friends, we would have the great honor and respect of falling down at His feet as we are confessing Him in our life to meet Him. Truly He is the Master. Truly He is the Lord. And the Bible says that the words that were spoken were so important. Because He said to them, all hail. Greetings. The one who had been in the grave, His body had been in the grave, now has arisen. And here, and by the way, isn't it interesting, it was to women that Jesus appeared first. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. The Bible says they came and they held Him by His feet. Holding on to Him. They fell down. They worshiped Him. Why wouldn't anybody do that? Knowing the Master, knowing that Jesus now has conquered death and Jesus now is alive and forevermore, and this Jesus now is being held on to by Mary Magdalene and the other Mary because Jesus means so much to them. And when you and I get to that point where Jesus means the world to us, we too will fall down and worship Him. And then the Bible says, then said Jesus to them, don't be afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. There's wonderful news, and that expression, go. And when we look at that in the Bible, sometimes maybe we don't get the impact of that little word. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. When? Go right now. And the news is, they're going to see me. What happened to those people who had been watching at the sepulcher? Isn't it interesting that Matthew now tells us something about that? In verse 11, now when the watchers keeping the grave were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city. They showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. All they did was go out and declare to these chief priests what they know now that has happened. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave them large money unto the soldiers. What? Look what the Bible tells us. Saying, you say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. You know what they were telling these men? Go out and lie. And here's the money. Take the money. How can a person who knows something and then turn away and say something differently? And they said, now if it comes to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. And this is heard by the governor. We'll make sure that everything is all right. Guess what they did? They took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this very day. All because of a lie supported by money that was given. In verse 16 of Matthew 28, and then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, I can't begin to tell you what a tremendous gathering that must have been. When the ones that were His disciples, can you imagine Peter, James, and John? There was one that doubted. But all these others, when they saw Him, what did they do? They worshipped Him. Too bad Thomas wasn't there. Too bad there was one that was doubting. Later on, he'll be convinced. These disciples are thrilled because now their Master, their Lord, is alive. On Friday, sorrow, sadness, and gloom. And it's Sunday, and the disciples are rejoicing because Jesus has been raised from the grave. What did Jesus tell His disciples when He saw them? My friend to you this morning, this is the message that needs to be heralded throughout this world. By young preachers, middle-aged, and all preachers. By every disciple of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said to them, go ye into all the world, or rather He said, all power is given unto me, heaven and earth. Here, look what He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they had seen the Lord. The 11 disciples had seen Him. And Jesus tells them, I've got a mission. And I want you to fulfill that mission. I want you to be involved in that mission. And if ever the United States of America, if ever the world needs to hear that message, it is today. And the message is, He's no longer in the grave. He is arisen. And He tells us, you go, do what you can. Share the good news of salvation with those that are lost. Tell them that Jesus was Yes, crucified. He died for them. But thank God, we can tell men and women and boys and girls who are sinners, that are lost, they can be saved because of the Master. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Is baptism important? The first words almost that Jesus said to His disciples as they are recorded. You go and you teach and you baptize them. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Isn't that great? The Master. Now it's Sunday. Now He's risen. And what is He concerned about? About His gospel. Touching men and women that are sinners, that are lost. Telling them, I went to the cross for you. I died for you. My blood was shed for you. Go ye therefore and teach them. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Notice what He says. Even unto the end of the world. Amen. That's the most wonderful news from the one who came forth from the grave. And why do we preach it? Because it's God's power to save. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Paul said. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the grave. Years ago, I decided I want to preach the gospel of Christ. I wanted to just be able to touch people with His Word. I wanted to make sure that my life be spent, hopefully, helping others to see Jesus. And my friend, though now this age, years have come and gone. As I go back in memory's lane, and I can remember all these small congregations and even large ones where I preached. And when I see people that tell me, I heard you, Brother Guy, when you were a young man, of course now you're an old man, but I heard you. I don't know how many times I see people today who tell me, you baptized me. And I'm thankful for that. My wife has had such a great part in my family, in my life, in sharing just the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we're not anything, just servants of the Lord. And what a wonderful thing it is, though, to tell you today, let you know there's hope. We're on the way. It won't be long until we'll meet Him, just like Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, just like these disciples who on Friday were grieved. But now it's Sunday morning, and the good news of salvation is He died, and glory be, everybody can be saved who's willing to obey Him. There's one mediator between God and man. That man is Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 2:5. No wonder when John writes, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not, yet if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The book of Matthew closes with, go, get up. It's time to share. Teach, tell. Let them know the gospel. Immerse them, baptize them, keep telling them what the gospel says. And Jesus has promised, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. Truly, friends, let me tell you, it's Sunday morning. There's victory. Jesus proved He indeed is the Messiah. You and I can make it to the end faithfully. What a glorious hope we can have. In Revelation 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and he said that. Jesus said, and I will give you, give who? You. I'll give you the crown of life. Preaching Jesus is wonderful and glorious. Why? Just like this man who suffered so much in 2 Timothy 4, 7-8. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me in that day. But not only to me, but unto all them that love His appearing. Does the story of the cross of Jesus touch your heart? Just simply the details in the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew. When we've studied each verse by verse, do those things mean anything to you? I hope they mean everything to you. Because you see, that's the word that God has given to us through Matthew concerning the cross, concerning Jesus that was on that cross. Do you believe it? Mary Magdalene and Mary, when they were told, go into Galilee and tell His disciples, and the Bible says they go, and on their way, there's Jesus. He meets them, and He says, all hail. Greetings. They hold to Him. They worship Him. He is Lord. He is Christ. Shortly before my aunt, who was 94 years of age, who passed away, I never will forget what my cousin told me. She was speaking about Jesus. Her life had been spent in service to Jesus. And she was looking forward to meeting Jesus. Are you? Am I? Are we ready? Do you believe with all of your heart what this message is? Are you a Christian? If not, why not this morning? Just as Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Won't it be wonderful, though, when you and I cross over from life here to life there if we've been faithful to the Son of God that we've been talking about here this morning? Live for Jesus. Obey Him. Be a child of God. And live to the very last breath you take faithfully in the service of the Master. We're singing this beautiful hymn this morning. Be prepared. Are you ready? If we can assist you in any way, won't you come right now while together we speak?